Hey, what up, everybody? This is Ryan Sketch with Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. This is a special episode, we'll call it, because tonight is the night that we find out whether or not Ant-Man goes up Thanos' ass. I think that's the way he's going to die. And if you want to judge my theory, go for it. And if you have another theory, I don't fucking care. I do have my buddy here, Anthony LaFada. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while now, so We're just testing this out. It's going to work phenomenally. But stay tuned. We're going to be back here with our little discussion on Endgame and then maybe a couple of little things while we were at it. So stay tuned. Hey, everybody. What's up? We are back. Ryan Sketch here with my buddy, Anthony LaFada. Say hi, Anthony.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Star Blast Bang.
Star Blast Bang. I am drinking Rainbow Unicorn Bang.
I actually have one of those in the fridge. I almost brought it out just to drink it.
They're so good.
I haven't had that flavor yet.
It does not taste anything like unicorns. It even says in the back.
Have you ever seen Your Highness?
What? The movie?
Yeah.
Wait, yes.
Every time I see that, I think of Unicorn Blade.
Oh, yeah. That was like a weirdly horrible but entertaining movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think I need to go back and watch that one.
Is probably one of James Franco's and Danny McBride's best movies, like next to Pineapple Express.
Danny McBride is a genius.
Yeah.
What's that show
that he's on? I think it ended. It was on HBO.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Shit. That was a good show.
He's just funny. He's a bit of a riot, and the random off the wall, like what was that movie? The end. This is
the end. Yeah,
fucking hilarious. Just shows up out of nowhere and talks about how he jerks off on James Franco's magazines.
James Franco got his face eaten. That was hilarious too.
But anyways, we're not here to talk about Danny McBride. We're actually going to talk about Endgame. That is the finale to, well, let me clarify. Apparently, Spider-Man Far From Home is the actual finale to the whatever
Infinity
this is.
Saga.
Infinity Saga.
That's what they're calling it.
Kevin Feige just made that claim the other day. So all of you who thought Endgame was the end game, it's not. So sorry. You're going to have to wait until... What, July? Is that when Spider-Man comes out?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait till July to figure out the true ending. But hopefully Thanos dies in this one because...
The Thanos?
Thanos anus. Speaking of which, there are so many theories out there about how this is going to go down. And without spoiling the entire movie, I haven't seen it. This guy decided he was going to go ahead and maybe read some spoilers. So, spoiler free, how do you think... Thanos is going to get rectified. No pun intended.
Straight into his rectum.
Right there.
How do I think the end game will end?
Yeah. On a good note?
On a very, very somber one.
Sombering in the sense that everybody dies, or sombering in the sense that we have to live with the fact that a few died and a few were saved?
On the chance that we're not going to see a few characters ever again.
But the good thing is we kind of already saw that coming, right? Everybody's contract.
Yeah, I mean, when everyone's got contracts that are ending, and we know that. Who is it? It's Robert Downey Jr.
Iron Man.
Chris yep. Evans is also ending his. Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson is ending hers. I think Don Cheadle's is ending. I could be wrong, but
I don't even know what his contract was
because the only one I know that like for certain has a still very long contract is Sebastian Stan. His is a 9
really?
Contract deal.
What?
And yeah.
He's only, what, 3 in?
He did Winter Soldier. What was Winter Soldier his first? No. Captain America was his first one.
Yeah.
Then Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Then Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And then...
Civil War.
Civil War. Uh-huh. Then Black Panther. So that's 4. And then Infinity War.
Uh-huh. That's five.
So that's five. And then this would be six. So he's got three more.
Okay.
So we know for certain that he has at least. I don't know if Anthony. I don't know how many Anthony Mackie has.
Well, he's only like two in. So
yeah. Well,
I'd imagine he was at least five.
He was in Civil War to start.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was in Ant-Man for that cameo appearance.
Yeah, on the roof.
And then. I'm trying to think. It was Civil War. He wasn't in Age of Ultron. No, he wasn't in Age of Ultron. That was
before. No, and he's not even in this poster. So was he one of the 50% that
poofed? Yeah, he's one of the guys that,
like, right at the end, he's like laying down and
reaching out. He left.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Ronan though. Because that's a character that, you know, is kind of obscure.
To me, I don't.
Hey, what up, everybody? We are back here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for staying with us. The last episode there, or segment, we were going to talk about Bumblebee. Because we have a resident expert on Transformers. And before I get his opinion on Transformers, I just want him to know that, like, 20 years ago, my neighbor, whom I pretty much grew up with next to my grandma in Pittsburgh, he was obsessed with Transformers until he got a girlfriend, and then he was like, fuck Transformers and toys. I want a woman. That brings me joy. So me, on the other hand, I was still very much into Transformers, and we're the same age. So I'm 34 and he's 34. So, priorities, right? And exactly. he, when he left his house to go to, college, he left his huge collection of Transformers, and a lot of them were like vintage ones. And some of them were the newer ones at the time that were more plastic than diecast metal. But he left me with a Optimus Prime and a one of the other Primes. It was like the silver truck.
Oh, like Ultra Magnus.
Yep. They are die-cast steel.
Not the whole thing.
Most of it. There are some
the parts original, of plastic. The original G1 figures were comprised of metal and plastic, but no figure was without plastic.
Sure. But those are my prized collections. And he left me with a bunch of other ones, particularly the builder ones, the ones where you got to build up like the wrecking
Devastator.
There was another
one. Do you actually have it completed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might have to take that from you.
Yeah. Well, we can talk money. did you ever remember the mythical ones? There was two, and the dragon was in the last Transformers movie, The Last Knight. There was that.
The dragon was like completely new
ish.
No, like you're talking. Okay. So you're talking about like, I don't know if you're talking about like the Predacons, like Predaking is maybe who you're referring to. But in The Last Knight, that dragon has never existed.
There was a two-headed dragon though. Transformers, dragon toy. No, Dragonstorm was the new one.
Yeah, so it was probably a Predacon. Or, yeah, it was probably a Predacon. That's.
It's not this one.
I forget what he turns into, but it was basically comprised of all of those
Cybertron?
Can't think. Knights of.
Cydonia.
What the hell is his name? Not Unicron. I keep wanting to say Unicron, but it's not who it is. It is Cybertron. It's he is Cybertron. I just can't think of his name.
I can't find this Transformer at all. All I know is the one I have is like gray and it's old
school. Primus. Shit. I don't know why that was so hard to think of. Primus is Cybertron, and that's how the Primes were conceived to begin with, because the Allspark is comprised of Primus's core. It's just a small portion, but that's where all the Primes get the knowledge from, is the Allspark, the Matrix of Leadership. I see, even I'm getting confused.
Here it is. This guy. Do you recognize that one? I'll post this up on Sketchbook Audio Instagram so you guys can see what I'm thinking of.
I don't even know what this is.
Me neither, but I have it. And there's like four other Transformers that go onto his arms once you turn him into a dude and not a two-headed dragon.
It's probably Predaking.
I don't know, man.
If I saw it as combined, I could tell you for sure. I have Metroplex. I have like half of Computron because somebody gave me a box of just like mangled Transformers that he had from when he grew up.
That's what I got.
Well, no, these are like legitimately like mangled to death because he gave me a Megatron it fell apart in your hands. Aww. It looks like that V1 Ultron after he like becomes sentient. He's like walking on. He looks like this. I'm like, oh, that's exactly what Megatron looks like. The only figures that look good out of that whole set were Metroplex, just because of how big it is, but it's still kind of, I don't know, it's like off-white now. And then I have Optimus, but he has no fists. So there are companies you can order those parts from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm going to order a set of the fists and a gun, so this that way I have it.
It's Hasbro, right?
No.
Or is it Mattel?
It's a third-party company that makes this stuff.
But I mean, like, the Transformers are...
Hasbro. Yeah, the official company for Transformers is Hasbro and Takara. Mm-hmm. Takara is the Japanese counterpart.
Okay. Well, I have a plethora of ones that I would love to get at some point looked at to see how much they're worth, because just so many of them, and as much as I love them.
Unfortunately, I mean... If you have like a legitimate G1 Optimus Prime or Megatron, they're probably still worth something, but because they keep re-releasing them and they just re-released Optimus Prime,
they're going down in value
without the trailer. It's like, at this point, it's like, you're probably looking maybe at like $250.
Well, hey, times are hard right now and I can use all the money I can get,
but it has to be,
I don't have a box.
Yeah, it has to be in a box.
Box suck. Son of a bitch. Why does everybody want boxes?
So you could probably get maybe like $150 if somebody really wanted it. And that's why like going to Comic-Cons is fun, because if you find them, you could probably get a decent amount if you were to be a vendor and say, hey, like, give me this, you know?
Speaking of Comic-Cons, we're going.
We are going again.
What is that one? The Motor City
Comic-Con? Motor City Comic-Con is on starts May 17th to the 19th.
And it's in Novi at the Suburban Auto Collection Showplace.
Which doesn't make any sense, because if you're going to call it Motor City Comic Con, you should have it in Detroit.
I would agree. But the Suburban Collection is a pretty large venue.
Yeah, but Kobo's bigger.
This is very true. And Kobo right now could use some more.
They did start one, though. There's another Comic Con that started, and it's in August now or September. It's that is actually World, is at no, I don't know what the name is called, but it takes place at Kobo Arena, and it's relatively large already, so you could go to that one. You can go to Motor City, then you can go to this one a few months after, and then like October's already, you know, right then and there, and you can go to YumaCon, which is at Kobo as well.
I love YumaCon. Although it brings back are you gonna die on me? YumaCon, unfortunately, is where I met my ex, and she's always there. So every year I just try to find her and wreak havoc on her life.
Rain on her parade.
I do. She's always scantily clad.
What's her name?
So I just kind of walk around and
it's not Anna, is it?
Huh?
It's not Anna, is it?
No, her name is Alexandria. I was going to say, I think her Instagram name is,
it's like a running joke that Jeff and I have about this girl that we know, and she's like a car enthusiast.
Okay.
Her name is Anna. I don't even know her last name, but
the one that owns a Jeep, is it?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe, but she's always at the car events, and she's always at Autorama. I forgot her name, but she's like kind of crazy looking too. Jeff, I think Jeff hooked up with her. I forgot. But the running thing is like, I've seen her like at these things, and she vaguely remembers me every time, and I'm just like, oh, what's up, crazy?
Well done. Well played, sir.
Yeah.
Before we get too off track on crazy exes and Jeff's unfortunate
Bumblebee.
Yeah. Let's back to Bumblebee. So I liked it. I genuinely thought it was a much better attempt at creating something that was fun, and it pulled you into a more emotional side of Transformers. Uh-huh. Whereas the last ones, you know, they were all explosions and big robots.
To me, and the weird thing is, I got the movie paused right now on my computer, which is funny because I just randomly was like, what do I want to watch?
Wait,
and
have
I just
you watched the whole thing through, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Multiple times.
Good.
Multiple times.
So I'm not going to spoil anything.
I just was like, what do I want to watch? So I threw Bumblebee on, but that opening scene, dude, it just, like, blew. Okay, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, this thing, the opening scene and the mid scene where you see them back on Cybertron,
yep.
Those two scenes alone replace all five movies prior.
Amen.
And you didn't even need any of the rest of Bumblebee's movie to call this movie a 10.
Yes, I would agree.
The movie itself, to me, is a 10, but those two scenes alone are a 10.
And in one of those scenes is my favorite Transformer. And I was so happy that not only did they get the voice right, but they got all of his little video cassettes right as well. Or, well, Soundwave. Audio cassettes, I guess. Soundwave.
The voice actor for Soundwave is also the voice actor for Shockwave in that movie. And you don't even hear Shockwave talk, which is weird.
He does it. Wait, was he in Bumblebee as well?
Yeah, you see Shockwave, Starscream.
I saw Starscream.
Yeah, well, you see in the cutback scene when you see Soundwave drop down, mm-hmm. you immediately see Shockwave, and then you see Starscream, and you see Skywarp all, like, cascaded behind them. So you see all four of those guys right there.
And they're all, well, Shockwave isn't a plane, too, is he?
No, Shockwave is a gun.
Gun, okay.
At least the G1 figure is a gun. I don't know what he'll be in this. Granted, we don't even know what Soundwave is, because I don't think they're just going to blatantly make him a cassette tape. Granted, the movie took place in the 80s. The next one's going to take place in the 90s. So it could very much be a cassette tape. We don't know, because none of the rules that applied in the original Bayverse apply to this. This is the Nightverse now.
Sure.
It's a complete reboot.
Yep.
Before it was a soft reboot, and they finally said, hey, we're going to reboot this completely because of the success of this movie. Which is great. It's like, you know, two thumbs way up, because now Michael Bay is taking a huge backseat. He's just producing. He's just
producer.
Just producer.
He wasn't even executive producer. That was Spielberg.
Nope. Executive producer was Spielberg. And I think that's probably why it did so well again, is because Spielberg was not an executive producer for any of the following four. Mm-mm. He was just a producer.
But he was for the original.
Which is why it's at DreamWorks. Mm-hmm. That's his company.
Yep. Amblin and DreamWorks.
Yeah. So ranking each movie, I mean, we'll talk about all the movies in general.
Well, let's do it.
We'll talk about all the movies. And I've been very critical of all these movies because
me too.
Working next to Michael Bay, and then watching him botch the whole thing in the editing room is like, it's like, dude, what were you doing? Like, if Michael Bay and Zack Snyder made a movie together, it'd be the most craptastic movie ever made.
It would be like Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
If they made Aqua Teen Hunger Force a real movie, it probably would be good. But it probably would be good. And the weird thing is, because Michael Bay, I don't consider him a bad director, and the reason I don't consider him a bad director is because Hollywood uses his filming techniques very, very often. The way he does explosions, they've hired him to do that stuff.
Yeah.
His actual, like, cinematic techniques with cameras, they have actually brought him on to film certain scenes just because of how cool he does that shit. Sure. Anytime you've ever seen, like, anytime you've ever seen like a 180 or a 360 view of a person, and you see a lot of stuff just moving jumbled in the background.
Yep, I can think of so many scenes.
That's right, one of his patented like scene filming techniques.
Much like the Matrix in their 360. Slow-mo, right?
Or freeze. It would be that, but it's in real time, so you're not seeing anything slowed down. It's just a very, it looks slow on the person that it's filming,
sure,
but everything in the background is just moving super fast. I don't know how he came up with that, but it's a cool technique that they figured out, or that he figured out how to do, and they've used it in many movies, you know, like before Transformers. Like, it actually started in Bad Boys. That's where he first started. It was the first Bad Boys. So he's been doing it for a long time. And the weird thing is that like Bad Boys 1 and 2 are awesome.
Movies. They're great movies.
And I have a lot of fear for the third one because of how badly all the Transformer movies were. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up.
Do you think Will Smith will let him mess it up?
I don't
know. Or do you think he'll just take it like this is a paycheck?
Are you saying Mike Will Smith is just taking it for a paycheck?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Because I mean, this is one of his.
Anything Will Smith is in usually does 100 mil.
This is one of his debuts for film, was Bad Boys.
This is true.
So I mean, this means something to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to mean something for Martin Lawrence too, because technically, like, I know it's not his film debut, but it was like his blockbuster debut.
What was that one he was in where he was like a pizza delivery guy trying to get back into the police station to get his, what was it, a diamond ring inside was it Mo Money?
You got me.
Or Money Talks or Milk Money. I forget. He was trying to.
But okay, so back to the Transformers movies themselves. I've ranked these movies and I've had to re-rank them because of the fifth one. So in order for me, it's 1,
okay,
3, 4, 2, and 5.
It's an interesting ranking.
Yep.
Okay. Don't watch them in that order, by the way.
Do not watch them in that order. But if you're going to watch them, if you're going to watch the movies, you can skip 2 and you can skip 5.
Okay.
1, 3, and 4 actually work as a trilogy by themselves.
Okay.
Which is strange to say.
Sure.
You have that whole thing in the second one about finding the Matrix,
yep,
doing all that stuff, Jetfire dying and getting the tech and all that nonsense. You can pretty much skip that because they kind of do a lot of backtracking in the third one with the whole space thing. It's kind of created like a second arc for a story. Optimus has the Matrix, so you can just be like, eh, whatever. And he's got his own jet tech now with the trailer.
Yep.
But as far as the third movie goes, and I, you know, like I got to go to Chicago to film like part of that.
Oh, nice.
To me, if you go back and watch that movie very diligently, and I have, because as an avid Transformers fan, I've watched probably the third one the most. And if you take Shockwave out of that entire movie, the movie is a lot smoother.
Shockwave.
Shockwave was a cool character. If you actually left him in the beginning of the movie and they killed him,
sure,
it would have made more sense.
Okay.
He doesn't interact with any of the other Decepticons throughout the entire movie. You never see him interact with Megatron.
That's true.
You never see him interact. I think the only time you see him with anybody was maybe a brief second in the streets in Chicago next to Barricade, but I don't even think he talked to him. You just saw him very quickly. And
that's right.
And then he got killed by Optimus.
Why would they do that?
Because it's mainly how Michael Bay edits. Nothing makes sense. Like, if Michael Bay only just filmed it and actually let the editors do the job that they're hired to do, they probably could have made a more cohesive story.
Okay.
When you watch these, when you watch those 30-minute behind-the-scenes documentaries that they put together on each DVD,
mm-hmm,
you get to hear a lot more of the backstory and like his thought process. And you're like, why didn't you put that in the movie? Where is that scene? Why is this missing? And then if you watch the deleted scenes, you're like, why are these missing from the movie? They add so much more.
I haven't watched any of the deleted scenes on the Transformers.
They should have added more. Like, the deleted scenes alone should have been like part of the movie. Huh. And I think they cut it just because of the runtime.
Well, I think that's ridiculous now, given the fact that Endgame is 3 hours and 10 minutes, three hours, five.
It's 2 hours and 53 minutes.
Oh, it's actually less than 3 hours.
It's 2 hours, 53 minutes from end of the title to the start of the credits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And there's, from what I've seen, there is no end credit scene. So
no, but they do a tribute to Stanley.
As they should. That whole movie should be a tribute to Stanley.
So when you, and I'm not sure why they gave a lot of flack. I've seen a lot of reviews giving flack to Age of Extinction.
Mm-hmm.
You touch my foot.
I have no idea, man.
I think Age of Extinction was actually a pretty solid, not reboot, but like I said, I think it was a good focal point to change to bringing the Dinobots in.
I love the Dinobots.
But the Dinobots didn't serve any purpose in 5. To me, 5 is easily the worst. Like, before 5, 2 was the worst movie.
5 is what, the Knights?
Yes. Yes.
The Last Knight or whatever.
5 is the worst one. Hands down the worst one. And it sucks because there were cool scenes in that movie. There were some decent plot points. But because it was so jumbled together, I was like, dude, what is going on? Like, mm-hmm. what are they actually trying to accomplish?
Right.
Had they spent more time with Optimus and why he was doing what he was doing, and a little bit more background about Quintessa trying to first destroy Unicron and then revive Unicron, I think it would have made more sense, and they probably could have gotten a sequel out of it. At no point did anything make sense. They killed Anthony Hopkins. Like, why? They could have used him again for the movie, and he was actually, you know, had they not made him seem so crazy, it probably would have been a little bit better as well. But it was like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Mark Wahlberg, more Bayhem.
Bayhem. I like that.
That's one of his patented. He's actually the one who patented his own word, Bayhem.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess when you have that much money and you've made two, explosions.
If you go back and watch 2, I've gone back and I've watched 2. 2 is not nearly as bad as 5. And I used to loathe 2 because of just kind of like how jumbled that was. But now because 5 exists, 2 doesn't seem so bad. In Transformers 2, you have two completely different sets of Decepticons as Constructicons, and a lot of people do not recognize this for some reason, and I've had to explain it to them.
What do you mean?
I'm like, dude, go back and watch the desert fight scene, mm-hmm. and you'll see Constructicons preventing Sam from getting to Optimus, and then go to this scene, and you'll see Megatron calling Devastator to combine.
Oh yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck?
That's true.
I'm like, where did this come from and why? Because when I watched it the first time, it completely blew past me. And I was like, okay. Like,
didn't the first one have big, giant golden nuts?
Yes. Devastator had wrecking balls for nuts, which I was like, wow.
But the little ice cream truck and his twin brother,
Skids and Mudflap,
were hilarious.
Skids and Mudflap were okay. If they had actually had them in there in smaller doses and a little less more ethnically centric, like had they just, you know, said, hey, we've been here for a long time, we've adapted these personalities as ghetto.
Sure.
And I just was like, no, like you can't do that for the entire movie. They just made him seem incredibly, and Michael Bay's been called racist because of that. And I'm just like,
I don't call
it. It is what it is. Like, you did what you did, but at the same time, it's like you could have at least made him seem more Cybertronian or something.
Sure. I just honestly, looking back on it, I wish it was Cheech and Chong.
That would have been funnier and probably 100 times better. No joke. But if you've seen that movie enough, you know that Skids was the green one, and the little one, Wheelie, the little blue robot that was humping Megan Fox's
leg. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was voiced by Tom Kenny, who plays SpongeBob.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now when I think of SpongeBob, I'm just going to think of this little blue robot humping everybody.
And he was in...
he was very vulgar, too.
He was in the fifth one, too. I forgot about that. You see him in there. in the junkyard.
Is he the same character?
Yep. Yeah, you see Wheelie in there. I need to go back
and watch all of these.
He's in the second, the third. He's not in the fourth, and he's in the fifth.
He's a funny character.
But regardless, I mean, there were so many plot holes and inconsistencies, and that's ultimately why the franchise sucked. The most consistent one of any of them was the first one.
Do you think the series would have been better if Shia LaBeouf stayed on?
Because
he kind of lost his marbles. And then
I think it would have been better had he stayed on and they brought Mark Wahlberg in as like his uncle.
Okay. Yeah, that would have worked.
Or they could have introduced Laura Haddock as her as like the cousin, because they are cousins. And
in the movie?
Yeah. She's a Witwicky.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. I need to go back and watch these, because I was trying to figure out what is the tie between all of these characters.
In the fifth one, you see all the lineage that Anthony Hopkins is describing to both of them. Mm-hmm. And basically she's a Witwicky, and you see Sam's picture, and they actually state that like he died. So it was kind of sucks, but they could have done a lot more. I think they could have actually, incorporated the dad more, because Sparkplug in the movie or in the cartoon was a prominent character.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have had Spike, and they should have had Sparkplug with the Autobots doing more. I feel like, instead of always trying to make it about the love story. Now, I've talked to some people in Transformers communities. I think what they should have done after the second movie was ended. They should have ended Sam Witwicky.
Mm-hmm.
As the main character, and they should have continued the third and the fourth one with Megan Fox's character alone. Granted, she's not the greatest actor, but it would have made more sense, because she's more mechanical savvy. Like, true. You see her working in that mechanic shop. True. She knew more about cars, and it's like there was a little bit more of interaction, I feel like, with her and Bumblebee that could have led to something. And then when they introduced this new movie, Bumblebee,
it could have been a nice, like,
it could have been a nice segue saying, hey, this is Megan Fox's mom.
Yeah. Or I mean, it shows that Bumblebee has good taste in women.
Well, Hailee Steinfeld is actually a really good actor
and singer. That song that she has in the movie,
the end credits is her song.
Yeah. And they did two versions of it. One that was very 80s themed, and then the other one that was Back to Life.
The one at the end of the movie is the more 80s themed one,
which I love.
And they just released it not long ago.
80s music is so good.
80s music. Fight. I think that's why this movie was actually better than all the previous ones, because it was so period focused in the 80s. There wasn't all the tech that we have now. And they didn't come up with Energon scanners and all this shit. It was like, it's like you're kind of eliminating the need for the Earth to be saved by Autobots when you're doing it yourself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why them going back in time, saying, hey, we're making it a period piece. Guess what? This works. Why does it work? Because there isn't as much tech. The tech comes from the actual tech
that was present at that time.
No, the tech actually was brought to Earth by the species that, you know, is made from it.
Okay, so, you know.
Which is how, if you go and watch Bumblebee again, the Decepticons give us the internet.
Oh, that's right.
They created the internet, that's how basically this whole thing started. 2 minutes. So now I'm anticipating a really good next movie, and it's supposed to take place in the 90s.
So there will be one.
Yes. The biggest difference that I learned not too long ago is the scale of the Transformers.
Mm.
In the first five movies, Optimus Prime is 28 feet tall. In these new ones, he's only 17 feet tall. They designed these guys to be way different, and because you're so focused on design, like that's probably the biggest aspect that I look at, and I was like, wow, like they cut everybody in half. You know, like obviously you see Bumblebee, and they even said it, like Bumblebee is only like 9 feet tall, or 9 or 8 feet tall. And if you look at that, like, dude, the Hulk is that tall.
Right.
So he matches up with the Hulk. I'm like, holy crap.
Yep.
Bumblebee is between 8 or 9 feet tall. Optimus Prime is 17 feet. And I think like Megatron is supposed to be 19. And speaking of Megatron, they didn't have him in the movie because of the continuity of the first one. Now we're going to get a complete reboot. They're going to probably give some explanation of where he was.
They didn't even mention him, did they?
Nope. They never mentioned him at all. And I think that's because it was a soft reboot.
But I thought he was the leader of that revolt in the first place.
Oh, yeah. He is the leader of the Decepticons.
Hey, we're going to go for a pause real quick, and then we'll come back, and we'll finish this up. But stay tuned.
Because my brother games a lot.
Yeah. We're in the domain of a gamer right now, and I'm feeling a little overwhelmed because there's so much tech here. And, you know, we're talking about Transformers, so my internet, I think, goes, and to anybody who lives in Michigan, maybe don't go with AT&T unless you know for a fact that you have their
live in the Metro Detroit area, AT&T for some reason, it has to be the worst internet provider.
Absolutely.
If you're going to get internet,
16 megabytes.
If you're going to get internet, I would say go to Comcast. But because we've had so many issues with them, we've switched to WoW. And
wow, really?
WoW's actually been pretty good.
Yeah. Customer service?
Both.
Good.
The internet's good. We've only had maybe like 2 outages. Whereas before,
I've had like 10.
No, before when we had Comcast, we'd have nightly outages of internet at like between 2 and like 5. It doesn't go out from 2 to 5, but it's between that time period. They're usually doing like maintenance or some shit, and it's annoying. So okay, we don't get that with WoW. We've had WoW now for almost a year again, and that's really like where we're sticking. And we're probably going to get rid of TV soon and just keep internet only. My brother and I.
That's what I'm doing.
My brother and I, we only use the internet.
Especially since Netflix just jacked up their prices.
I might switch to the Disney streaming service.
I'm going to have to. I see it coming. They have too many good shows coming out. And
Well,
there are overlords
they're only, now. They're only launching with like, they're launching with enough, but it's 20% of what Netflix has, but Netflix is going to be losing every single thing that is
Disney,
Marvel, and Disney related.
Yeah.
So
that's a large bulk.
It is. It is a very large
bulk. Especially when you know how much Disney actually owns.
Exactly.
You got, what, ABC, Fox now?
ABC. Disney. Anything that's ABC, anything that's Fox, anything that is
Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they own your soul. And I'm okay with that because as long as they keep making good movies, I am fine with that. I know we cut off on the talk about Transformers. So what I find interesting is that Transformers decided to go in reverse, whereas Godzilla, and I want to bring this one up because that new movie is coming out. Godzilla is going in the other direction. They just kept making him bigger. This Godzilla is 600 feet tall, I think, versus the previous one that anybody ever saw was 300 feet. And then before that, he was about 180. So Godzilla just keeps getting bigger. And if you think Godzilla's size is big, think about Ghidorah, or Ghidorah, however you want to pronounce it. He towers Godzilla. He is essentially the size of Rhode Island. So put that into perspective.
So here's I got an unpopular opinion for you. I am not a fan of Godzilla at all.
Why?
I just do not.
The guy in the rubber suit thing?
I just do not like Godzilla. I don't know. I've never been able to.
You like giant robots?
I've seen the last movie I've seen the movie that came out not long ago, mm-hmm. which has Quicksilver in it, and I'm like
Aaron Taylor.
Oh yeah, Johnson. Aaron Johnson. He did. I liked the movie enough,
mm-hmm.
but it paled in comparison to Pacific Rim. If they incorporated, if they incorporated Godzilla with Pacific Rim, I think it would have been a home run. I really do.
Oh, that would be a crossover that I think many would, people would be happy about.
To have a kaiju that is actually like on your side,
right,
fighting with your giant robots to stop evil kaiju or sure, whatever those aliens are, mm-hmm, would have been like infinitely better.
I don't even think they ever name them. I don't even think they ever name that alien species race.
No, I don't know what they, I just know that they call the giant ones kaiju because they're so big, but
the sequel, they might, I forget. The sequel was horrible.
The sequel was terrible, but it was still entertaining.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like I want to say it reminded me of a Michael Bay movie because of all the explosions, but because of the robot factor, I was like, dude, at least it's got robots.
The robot and the monster factor had me. I mean, you could really have like, okay, so for instance, Men in Black, or I'm sorry, not Men in Black. What was it called? Independence Day. The sequel to Independence Day was the shittiest sequel I have ever seen.
It was so underwhelming. They never should have made it.
First of all, Will Smith is dead right in the beginning. And second of all, it was just horrible. There's not too many other ways I can explain that or put that, but much in the way that Pacific Rim wasn't that great. Pacific Rim actually had really good monsters and robots. The aliens and the space tech and even just some of the CGI was horrible in Independence Day 2. That breaks my heart because I really like the first one. I think it's a classic. And that is definitely, first of all, it's a really good example of practical effects. Were so many practical effects that happened with like real costumes, real explosions, real everything. They didn't, it really made it feel more realistic, I guess. Whereas
I think the reason why Independence Day 2 bombed is because of the director also. Well, yeah. Director had just basically spewed a lot of garbage out on the internet saying how like all these other movies are just cash cows and he wasn't in it for that reason. And Independence Day 2 was kind of like a standalone or something and how his effects are better, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I saw the movie and I was like,
bullshit.
I was like, this is not even half as good as like, I'm trying to think of like a shitty movie off my head.
Blue Crush.
There you go. It wasn't even half as good as that. It really wasn't. It wasn't a terrible movie.
I don't feel like he even tried.
But it just felt like it just felt like a super cliched alien movie that really wasn't needed.
It did have Jeff Goldblum in it, though.
Well, that's the reason why the movie sucked is because we already have Transformers. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it felt like, in all honesty. It was aliens with tech versus humans with tech trying that's to true. Stop aliens with a little bit more superior tech, even though the more humans have too. Figured out the tech. Right. And I was like,
oh, yeah, because they just reverse engineered everything.
Exactly. And now they're themselves. Making Men in Black. Four. No, it's rebooted. I forgot about that. It's rebooted. It has.
Is it though? Because there's that one scene where the chick is like, "You flashed my parents, but you didn't flash me." I'm pretty sure that scene is from one or two.
As far as I know, and from what I've read, it's rebooted because it has Tessa Thompson and what's Thor's name? Hemsworth.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
It has those two as the main characters. Liam Neeson is supposed to be K.
Okay.
And
she's M, right? That's what I thought I heard on the trailer.
Oh, I don't even remember what the trailer was. See, I got to go watch it again because I'm just like, it's good. But it just, to me, like it's so unnecessary because they ended the series with Josh Brolin as K on such a good note. And I was like, why would you even bother remaking it?
I concur. Cash cow. It'll make money. It'll make money, and that's sometimes all anybody in Hollywood is worried about.
They just don't have any. It feels like Hollywood just doesn't have any new or exciting things coming out. and nothing is like original anymore.
And I hate to say this about the Quiet or A Quiet Place, because that was pretty original.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's like six other movies out there that have done the same thing or similar. You got what's that? Not the Mockingbird.
Bird Box.
Yeah, Bird Box.
I didn't even see that.
There's another one that just came out where they're only supposed to talk in like a whisper, but if they get loud, they're like these little bat creatures that are kind of like a cross between Dimorphodons.
What is this? Is this on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Really?
Or maybe it's on Amazon. I forget. Amazon Prime. But they're like these flying little dinosaurs that have been trapped in a cave for like a million years. And now, of course, they don't have the ability.
It's like Piranha.
Exactly. It is. It's Piranha with wings.
Oh my
which
God.
Is a horrifying thing to think about. But these creatures don't have the ability to see because they've been in a cave that's been blocked off from light for a millennia.
So it's like Tremors also.
And like Tremors, ugh. Again, with wings. Although in Tremors,
three? There's five Tremors movies, just so you know. And they have those.
I've seen them all.
Yeah, I've seen them all.
Eventually, too. They get like two legs and they hop.
And they fly?
Yeah, and then there's the flying ones that explode. They have explosive shit. Literally. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Just as a quick, before we get this over with, what movies are you excited to see within the next 3 months, 4 months?
Spider-Man.
Okay.
And The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, okay. I am also excited to see both of those.
And I'm also excited for Jedi Fallen Order.
That's not the TV show one.
It's a game.
Oh, the game. Okay. What's the TV show that was being made for Boba Fett?
Or at least The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But it's not Boba Fett.
It's not even Jango Fett?
It's not even Jango Fett. It's a different Mandalorian bounty hunter, I found out. Uh-huh. I had no interest. I had absolutely no interest in it because to me, and I got a friend that is like a diehard Boba Fett fan.
Okay.
Boba Fett is the absolute worst character in Star Wars.
Bullshit.
Absolutely the worst.
He's a badass.
As far as I'm concerned, his character ends in the Sarlacc stomach.
Okay. I'll give you this. Some characters just need to die.
People have argued with me time and time again. It's like, dude, his character was written for a movie before it was ever in a book, before it was ever in a comic. It's done. Let the motherfucker just stay dead.
Yeah, and they have had movies and video games about him.
And the thing is, too, like, even in the Clone Wars TV show,
uh-huh.
as a little kid, Boba Fett is a bitch.
Yeah.
He is a little bitch.
Yeah, he is.
Jango Fett, to me, was a better character for the purpose that he served, and he was actually, like, good in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, granted, you see Boba Fett as a kid, and it kind of gave him the reason to do what he does.
Right.
But they never explore that at all. If they actually gave him, like, an animated series and kind of rewrote it, if Dave Filoni really invested enough time into making Boba Fett a badass character, I would probably change my mind. But ultimately, like I said, his character ends in the Sarlacc, and that's where he stays. You don't see him get out. His jetpack was damaged. If it could have been cool. It really could have been if his jetpack hadn't been damaged. He could have flew out. But
what if he lived in there like Noah?
Well, if you've played the Force Unleashed games, like you have Galen Merrick going into the Sarlacc's stomach to fight whatever it is that he's doing, and he ends up getting like expunged through the anus, I guess. If you want to fight one of the Jedi.
There's a lot of anal talk on this show today.
So, I mean, he could have gone out. Maybe he did survive. We'll see. Maybe he's in the Mandalorian. Maybe not. But as far as I'm concerned, Jedi Fallen Order is going to be a game I'm highly anticipating because it's not like Battlefront. It's a solo story game, just like The Force Unleashed. Has nothing to do with Han Solo.
All right.
It's the main character is Cameron Monaghan. I don't know what his name is in the game, but if you've seen anything with Cameron Monaghan in it, he plays the Joker on Gotham.
Yep.
And he is just incredible. I would say I know he's young. I know he's like 20 something right now. You give
Seems
him
like Jared something.
If you give him 5 to 10 years and you make him the legitimate Joker in a movie, he'll knock it out of the park, probably to do better than Heath Ledger, I think. His laugh on Gotham gave me chills.
His laugh, yeah. Okay. So, yes. And his whole story in Gotham, first of all, is brilliant. Second of all, it's very confusing. And third of all, that's my biggest complaint about anything that DC has done. They won't tie in any of their TV show characters that work, and they won't, you know, they just keep creating new stories. Now, Marvel, not necessarily that they did it perfectly, but it was fun. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a good tie-in to
the cinematic Avengers universe
series, yeah.
I personally think the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show should have been its own standalone thing. They should not have tied in anything to any of the movies. And the last episode that I really paid attention to, I think, was when Ghost Rider was brought in. After that, I stopped.
Just such a badass series.
It was a good show. It was a good show, and I'm waiting for this season to release on Netflix to watch it so I can kind of go back and get like a refresh of the whole thing.
I stopped after they brought him on. So his whole season I finished, but
yeah, I finished most of it. And then I just kind of stopped after a certain time.
And it's all reactive to the Avengers, but
it is,
it's fun because they'll talk about, like, I think in one of the episodes in the first one, he's like, oh great, we've got swinging people and we've got people who shoot fire.
Yep.
So he's mentioning both Fantastic Four and he's mentioning Spider-Man. It's funny. And for like a nerd, it's great because you just get to sit there and go.
Which is why I had such high hopes for the Netflix Marvel shows, because they talked about all the things that happen like in the cinematic universe. Yes, and at some point I was like, maybe we'll see Spider-Man interact with Daredevil. That was the highest point for me with the Daredevil series. Like they could still use him in the cinematic universe if they really wanted to.
They could even use Iron Fist.
Oh, dude, Iron Fist.
It's not the greatest show, but
they need to rethink that whole series. Iron Fist is a lot cooler than what they made him out to be in the show.
I would agree. But he's also one of those characters that, unless you're from the time period where he was created,
right,
you're not going to, it's not going to crush you or make or break anything if he is one way or another now.
So before you end this,
yeah,
let's talk about the DC show. Let's talk about the DC movies,
okay,
real quick.
Yeah.
Because I just rewatched Superman. I watched Man of Steel.
Man of Steel?
Okay. I watched Man of Steel, and I don't understand where they went wrong with, like, I really feel like the executives at WB need to stay out of everything. They need to let Jeff Johns be the Kevin Feige of DC.
Yep.
And do his job the way that he's supposed to do.
Absolutely.
If you know anything about Jeff Johns, he's from Michigan. He's a native.
I did not know that.
He's actually from this area.
Okay.
I used to go to the Boys and Girls Club with his brother, which is strange. He's a cool dude. He has so much time invested in this that, like, they just – the executives are pulling the strings on him, saying you have to do this, blah, blah, blah. They need to let him have free reign like Kevin Feige has and really just pull everything back together, because Superman, Man of Steel was, in my opinion, a home run. I watched it again.
I think so as well.
And to me, it's like, dude, why couldn't they just continue it as a solo? They should have did Batman next.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could have continued with Wonder Woman. And then they could have did Batman vs. Superman the right way.
But instead, they jumped straight into pretty much Justice League.
Yeah. Doomsday was a character they never should have touched as until Batman vs. Superman.
End.
It should have been a Justice League battle,
yes,
with Doomsday. And they did it right in the DC animated movie that came out not long ago.
Yes, they did.
They did it super well.
I think they try to correct their problems in the animated ones.
Well, the animated movies, I don't know how those are operated, but to me, the Justice League continuity that they created in the animated movies is by far better than any of the cinematic movies that have come out. Absolutely. I watched the first time I watched Aquaman, I didn't like it. I watched it again a few more times, and it got a lot better. And a lot more people have said it's very similar to Tron Legacy. And I was like, I didn't really see it the first time. Hmm. So I was like, all right. I gave it a few more tries, and I was like, yeah, I do see a lot of similarities to Tron Legacy. It's got a lot of great visuals. But the story was a lot better, in my opinion, after watching it again for like – it was maybe like 2 weeks ago. I was like, this is a lot better this time around for some reason, a lot more clicked. The only real thing that sucks is Jason Momoa. He is not Aquaman. He should have been
– agreed.
Any other character in the DC universe except for Aquaman. The person that should have played Arthur was I forget his name, but he played Ocean Master.
Oh, the dude who was in The Watchmen.
Yep. He should have played should have played Arthur, because in the comics and in Justice League the cartoon,
he's blonde, short.
He's blonde. His hair is either short or it is very long and straggly, but the character of Aquaman is very reserved.
Yeah.
He's a very reserved person, and that's the type of person that I get as far as acting-wise goes from that actor.
They should have used the guy – well, if they couldn't have used him, they should have used the guy that was in Smallville.
Oh.
And he was supposed to get his own show.
See, the thing is – Alan Richardson is a really good actor. He was in Hunger Games. He played, I forget who he played in that, but he died.
Yep.
He was also in Blue Mountain State, which, as you know, is like his pinnacle character. That's as right. Thad Castle.
Yeah,
he was. He was by far the best thing about that show. Mm-hmm. Now, him playing Aquaman in Smallville was actually pretty good. But if you have seen Titans, the TV show, he plays Hawk.
Oh, he's,
he plays Hawk.
I haven't seen
it. And his girlfriend plays Dove.
Okay.
He did a good job playing that character. But to me, he needs to play a real superhero with powers. He could have possibly been Aquaman on the big screen. He really could have.
Did you watch the pilot of Aquaman?
Yeah.
I liked it.
It had Hartley in it, though.
I was okay with Justin Hartley.
He was better as Oliver Queen.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
He was a lot better as Oliver Queen.
I do like the guy they have as Oliver Queen now in Arrow.
I'm so happy the show's ending.
I am
so thrilled that show's ending. And the reason I'm thrilled, is because I do not like Felicity at all. She ruined the show.
Ah, but she's so hot.
She ruined the show. It doesn't matter if they picked a pretty actress.
This is
it true. Matters how the writers write the character, and she was supposed to be a one-off. She really was. She was written into the show for like two episodes, and they kept her on.
Now she's pretty much mother of William, and
she's leaving at the end of the season anyway. The next season won't even have her in it. So,
and there goes that.
As far as the movies go, the downfall of the DC universe, the DC cinematic universe, was Batman vs Superman, which you and I both worked on, mm-hmm. and Justice League. They could have rectified a lot of that, and I feel like they have, because Wonder Woman was great.
That was a good movie.
Aquaman was great.
Flash, I don't think is
going to be. Shazam was amazing.
Shazam was hilarious.
Shazam was awesome to
lightning,
me.
Lightning.
With two very small exceptions, and that was the fight scene.
With the family?
The fight scene in the mall. The CGI was garbage.
Oh, yeah.
The fight, I don't know what happened
that
there.
That was really bad
and, CGI. And then him breaking the staff. That was a really bad idea.
Yep. I remember now. Yep.
Because that staff is what grants the others the power to be, you know, who they are.
Yeah.
And if he decided to want to take that power back, he could have. If he wanted to grant power to somebody else, he could have. Now, you only saw six of the family, and it makes sense. At the time that I saw it, I was like, why aren't there seven? Because there's seven chairs. The seventh chair is actually for Black Adam.
Oh, I wondered that too. That's who.
The seventh chair is for Black Adam, but because Black Adam is a bad guy, we won't see anything until that unfolds in the next movie. But we're going to get a Black Adam movie before we actually get a sequel to Shazam.
So why, in your opinion, did they not include a cameo of
the worst thing about the cameo that was in the movie was them not just showing Henry Cavill's face. It was Henry Cavill who appeared in that scene in his suit. And I was like, why didn't you just show his face? And then I found out he had the stupid mustache.
Oh, that's right. That mustache is like the bane of the DC.
They could have shaved that mustache. He could have grew it back in no time at all.
Absolutely.
On average, it takes a guy to grow a mustache like a week.
Well, he's like a super man.
Either way, they should have made him shave it and just showed his face, because it would have been a very rewarding moment for the end of the movie.
Did you notice that that's one of DC's biggest things is dumb shit happens to them? The only dumb shit that happened to Marvel was the guy who played Rhodes the first time around. And he was just like, nope.
Terrence Howard.
Yep. Don't want to do it again.
The reason why he didn't come back is because he was having a piss fit with the executives about his pay. He basically wanted a huge pay raise that would have been double the salary of Robert Downey Jr.
And he's the highest
paid. And he's not even the main character.
No.
He was in Don Cheadle was in Iron Man 2 for like what, 20 minutes total? Between the fight scene and the court scene in the beginning, it's like 20 minutes, maybe. So them paying him an excessive amount of money, it's like, why would they want to? And plus, to me, like, Don Cheadle was a way better War Machine.
I agree.
I'm so happy they recasted.
Well, that's the same thing that happened to Tobey Maguire. He just kept wanting more and more money, and the studio did pay him more the first time, and then I don't know what happened with the third. He just decided to keep on it, or his contract said he had to. I don't know, but and they were going to reboot it anyways, but you know, that I just see that being a trend that happens with DC. Ben Affleck can't come up with a good enough script, or his rehab gets in the way. The other guy, pretty much his character just got written out.
Who?
Scoot McNeary, the guy who blows up in my courtroom scene.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going to keep him on longer, but then they just decided to blow him up.
I'm glad.
I mean, I died.
Well, you can call him and blame him.
Yeah. So we're going to end this here, but just as a side note, because a lot of people don't know this, and they don't show this in the end or like in any of the deleted scenes or any of the special features at the end of the movie. But in that courtroom scene, they were supposed to do it all Superman time. So he was supposed to look around the entire room and see everybody just melt and then burst into ash. And then that drives him out. Like, I can't believe that just fucking happened. And the reason I know that is because they took all of the people from the front row, including me, the woman who plays the senator, Heather, I forget her name, but the senator and a couple other people, they took us all into this room and we stood in this giant fixture that had cameras. Like, there was six or eight posts on this big giant platform, circular platform, and each post had about eight cameras on it. So it filmed us in 360. And then I got to watch some of the animators take all of our now 3D-ized, computerized form and melt us. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I was like, no, I can't wait to see. In fact, Zack Snyder was in the room and he was like, yeah, this is going to be epic. And we were talking about how he doesn't even do storyboarding. He just writes shit down on a napkin during lunch for the next day. And then he just films it, which is awesome because he would, while he was doing a scene, he would just reach in his pocket and pull out like little notes and napkins that were all drawn on. And that's how he would film his stuff. But he had that scene and then they just deleted the whole fucking thing. So we just blow up in a matter of 0.05 5 seconds. And Superman comes flying out, and we're like, oh, well, you could have stopped it.
Dude, another thing, you said you wanted, you said you don't have a lot of faith about the Flash movie.
I don't.
I really, really want to see them fulfill the Flashpoint arc with that whole thing, because
then that's what they brought up in his dream, right? More or less.
Oh no, are you talking about when Bruce was having his dream? That wasn't Flashpoint. What the Flash movie is about is
I've seen the cartoon version.
Have you seen the movie, the Flashpoint movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So basically, Flash goes back in time. Flash goes back in time, saves his mom from dying, rewrites the entire history, and basically when he goes back, he doesn't have his powers. A civil war has broken out mm-hmm. in Europe, and it's Wonder Woman versus Aquaman.
Yep.
Reverse Flash has basically altered everything.
Thawne, right?
Thawne.
Yep.
And then that's where basically the whole thing lies. He has to go back again and fix everything.
Well, we can only hope. Bear with us. We'll be right back for the end of this. Stay tuned.
4 minutes.
All right, guys, we're back. Sketchbook Audio, thanks for staying with us. We have talked about, God, everything. Transformers, Batman, Superman, Godzilla, Bumblebee. It's been a fun episode, and it's good to have somebody who actually knows the topics, like can really get into something, not just because the person knows a lot, but also because that person has been there and has seen things much in the way that I have on some things with as far as Batman or Superman or Avengers. So that point of view is very helpful. And the last thing we had talked about was Flash and how that movie, in my opinion, like, I'm kind of fearful of it because I don't think DC has it in them to keep on a good pace like they did with Wonder Woman. A lot of people did like Aquaman, so we'll say that the pace is going with that, but I think they really set themselves up for some failure. And like I said before, they have a habit of having these stupid things happen that screws up everything. And now we don't even have a Batman movie because Ben Affleck is out. And our next Joker movie apparently is going to have absolutely nothing to do with the DC universe. Not a bad thing, much like how Venom might not have anything to do with the Marvel universe. But we can only hope that a good actor like Joaquin Phoenix can bring something and rejuvenate the DC cinematic universe. And we also have that new Birds of Prey movie and Impossible Suicide Squad movie. And I've talked about Suicide Squad before. I hated it.
The Suicide Squad movie is, the new one is going to be a complete reboot.
Thank God, because the first one just, it was like a punch to the dick.
I think with that whole thing, with them rehiring James Gunn for Guardians 3.
Yes.
They had to work something in. Thank God. They had to work something in with him because he had already been hired by DC to direct the new Suicide Squad movie. And I am just thrilled that when I heard it was a reboot, I was like, great. And I hope they don't call I really hope they call the movie Task Force X. I don't want them to call it Suicide Squad.
I don't care what they call it.
They should just mention that they are a Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Because the team itself is called Task Force X.
Yep.
That's how it's always been.
Amanda Waller even mentions it a couple times.
They actually have already confirmed that the woman who plays Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad is reprising the role, which I'm fine with because she did a good job. She did a really good job.
She needs to be a little bit more evil to me.
But they need to essentially change everything back to, I want to say, the actual comic of how it's done, or go off of the Suicide Squad animated movies at least.
Listen, I know is Killer Croc does not need to be a thug from Brooklyn.
No, Killer Croc needs to be like 8 feet tall.
Yes. 8 feet tall, not wearing a fur coat with a bunch of tattoos.
He doesn't have to be 8 feet tall, but he should be relatively large.
He should look like a menacing creature.
No, he should look like a terrifying creature, not a menacing creature.
Okay. Terrifying.
Menacing to me is Joker. because that's who the Joker is. He's a menacing character. He's not not supposed to be terrifying. He's supposed to be terrifying in the way.
Spine tingling to me.
Yes. That's how he's that's menacing. That's menacing.
Okay.
To me, that's menacing. That's saying, hey, like he's here to do some very intense shit. And the other things that they need to change are Harley Quinn not jumping into a vat of chemicals. They just wrote her doing that for some reason.
And she never did. Fun.
I thought it was interesting, but at the end of the whole thing, it's like she just didn't do that. That's not how she was written in the 90s.
True.
She's a relatively new character. She's only about 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So them doing that, it's like, why would they just alter it completely? Joker, that's who the Joker is. He jumps into the vat, or he doesn't jump. He falls. Pushed. He falls in. Harley Quinn needs to actually have the Stockholm Syndrome that they wrote her to basically be like in there. And they should actually dive into it more.
They do in Gotham.
They do a little bit in Gotham, but I'm talking about they did it in Suicide Squad, kind of, with the whole Arkham scene, but they should do it a little bit more, I feel. And they should really show, like, the Joker being the menace that he is.
Well, and that's another one of DC's faults, is they just, they hit you with one big story, and there's no character development. And if there is, it's crammed into, what was the time, like, an hour and 45 minutes?
Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
I think it was like two.
Two. Oh, even still two. You can't develop really deep. You could develop Killer Croc like that.
Yeah.
But Harley Quinn and the Joker, not just their relationship, but them as individuals.
Even Diablo. Diablo should have had a little bit more time.
Diablo has a really good story.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm nervous for what's coming on the horizon with DC, but there are good things coming up, and we will try and talk about more of them. This was good. This was fun. Of course, we'll definitely have some episodes coming up about design. I know we talked last week about shoes, and I actually have some really good stories that I've read recently about shoe design that I want to bring to you guys. And I know I have to get pictures up on the Instagram page. It's hard because Instagram doesn't like taking the pictures I've taken, screenshots, and allowing you to select multiple of them and shrink them. It's like you can shrink one, but you can't shrink all the other ones. And that's annoying. That's why you see a lot of cut off pictures on the page. So I apologize for that. Those will be coming up. And then I wanted to inform some people out there who are hoping that they can join. The Middlecott Sketch Battle in Chicago is happening, and it's for industrial designers and product designers. Not car designers like we typically have, but product design. So anything from cell phones, laptops, to earbuds. And please, somebody, please just redesign the AirPods from Apple, because it looks like a Something About Mary sequence, and it's frightening. Anthony knows what I'm talking about. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. Anthony, thanks for being a part of this show. We are definitely going to do this again. And remember, get your sketchbooks out, draw something, be good to one another. And thank you for being a part of this, because without you guys, this show would not go on. So until next time, peace.